Welcome to the latest climate podcast. Here are today's top climate news stories. In Canada, a new study suggests that climate change poses a greater threat to caribou herds than habitat loss, challenging long-held beliefs about their decline. Melanie Dickey, a senior caribou ecologist at the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Institute, led the research published in Global Change Biology. Traditionally, the destruction of old-growth forests by industries was blamed for the caribou's threatened status, as it also facilitated predator access. However, Dickey's study, focusing on northeastern Alberta and northwestern Saskatchewan, found that rising temperatures have allowed white-tailed deer, and consequently wolves, to migrate into caribou territories. Despite significant human disturbance in these areas, the study revealed that colder, snowier climates saw fewer deer, indicating that climate change had a more substantial impact on wildlife patterns than habitat alteration. This finding could shift conservation efforts, suggesting that strategies like wolf culling or deer hunting might become necessary alongside habitat restoration to ensure the survival of caribou in the changing climate. Dickey emphasizes the importance of continuing habitat restoration for broader ecological benefits, despite the challenges posed by climate change. In Canada, the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation, ACFN, is taking bold steps to address environmental concerns with Imperial Oil Ltd. during their annual meeting. This action comes after a significant leak from the Kirrill Oil Sands project in northern Alberta, which went undisclosed to local communities for nearly a year. The leak involved water contaminated with arsenic and other harmful substances, sparking numerous investigations and an apology from Imperial's CEO. The ACFN, also suing the Alberta Energy Regulator, is pushing a climate resolution at the meeting to hold the company accountable for the financial risks posed by climate change on their operations. The resolution, which doesn't specifically mention the Kirrill site or the leak, asks for an audited report on the financial impact of climate change on Imperial's asset retirement obligations. This is crucial for investors to make informed decisions, especially given the long-term nature of Imperial's projects like Kirrill, expected to operate into the 2060s or later. The ACFN emphasizes the need for transparency in assessing the financial and environmental risks associated with the company's operations. Imperial Oil, however, urges shareholders to reject the resolution, highlighting their targets for reducing emissions and achieving net zero emissions by 2050. They argue that their current methods of estimating future environmental liabilities are based on legal and regulatory requirements, which provide a more accurate reflection than the resolution's proposed method. The ongoing debate underscores the tension between corporate practices and community concerns over environmental stewardship and transparency. In Australia, mining giant BHP is making a bold move towards a renewable energy future by launching a $60 billion takeover of Anglo American, targeting its South American copper mines. Despite a challenging past with a failed copper acquisition in Arizona, BHP has continued to focus on copper, essential for clean energy technologies. The company, which once struggled with commodity prices and poor investments, has transformed into the world's largest miner, largely thanks to China's economic boom. Now BHP is shifting away from fossil fuels, having sold most of its coal and oil assets, and is focusing on materials like copper that are crucial for renewable energy and electric vehicles. This strategic shift underscores BHP's commitment to adapting to a low-emissions future and distancing itself from fossil fuels, aligning with global efforts to combat climate change. The takeover bid for Anglo American is part of BHP's ongoing strategy to secure valuable resources for the future's energy needs. The International Energy Agency's report reveals a significant drop in battery costs, boosting renewable energy efforts globally. Since 2008, battery prices have decreased by 90%, making solar and wind energy more competitive against fossil fuels. By 2030, battery storage costs are expected to fall by another 40%, enhancing the affordability of renewable energy systems. This cost reduction is pivotal as it makes renewable energy combined with battery storage cheaper than new fossil fuel plants in many regions. The report also highlights a shift towards using lithium iron phosphate batteries, which are less expensive and dominated 80% of new stationary storage in 2023. Furthermore, the transportation sector continues to rely heavily on lithium-ion batteries, but sodium-ion batteries are emerging as a cost-effective alternative for stationary storage. The rapid decline in battery costs is facilitating the spread of renewable microgrids and solar home systems, especially in areas without stable grid access. By 2030, the cost of electricity from these systems is expected to halve. Additionally, global energy storage capacity is projected to increase sixfold by 2030, with batteries accounting for 90% of this growth. This expansion is supported by a tripling of battery manufacturing capacity over the past 3 years, with significant production increases planned in the United States and the European Union. Overall, investment in battery technology is set to surge, reaching $1.2 trillion by 2030 and doubling its share of clean energy investments. In Canada, the Youth Imagine the Future YIF Festival, a vibrant event encouraging young people to envision and illustrate a socially equitable, sustainable future through art and stories, proudly secured second place at the Canadian Youth Climate Action Awards. The festival, celebrated annually in September in Kingston, focuses on reducing climate anxiety among youth by showcasing global solutions to climate change. During a special ceremony at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, three enthusiastic youth ambassadors received a $2,500 prize from Heather Wilson of Pivot Green Canada. Festival Director Jerry Jarriott and Managing Director Nikki Allward expressed their gratitude, highlighting the importance of proactive environmental actions in light of Canada's increasing heat waves and extreme weather conditions. The festival reached about 1,500 local students last fall, providing workshops that inspire hope and encourage creative expressions of a better future. Teachers are invited to engage with the upcoming workshops to continue this inspiring initiative. In Canada, the completion of the Trans Mountain Pipeline, which now ships 590,000 barrels of Alberta crude daily to the Pacific coast, marks a significant development. The project, costing $34 billion and delayed by regulatory and court hurdles, was eventually purchased and completed by the government after the original U.S. owners planned to shut it down. This expansion aims to open new markets overseas, potentially increasing returns for major oil sands producers. However, the financial burden of cost overruns could affect transport tolls and the government's ability to recoup its investment. The future of this pipeline is also tied to environmental concerns and Indigenous rights, with proposals for ownership by First Nations and Métis communities welcomed. Meanwhile, other environmental news includes the challenge of planting trees with long lifespans in Canada and discussions on copper's critical role in decarbonization. The country is also making strides in addressing climate change and pollution, with various opinions and analyses highlighting the ongoing efforts and challenges. India is set to revolutionize its energy sector with the construction of the Khavda Renewable Energy Park, a massive $20 billion project spearheaded by Pranav Adani of Adani Green Energy Limited. Located in the barren landscapes of Gujarat, this park will be 5 times larger than Paris and aims to be the largest power plant in the world, visible even from space. The project, which is planned to be completed by 2029, will generate enough electricity to power 16 million homes in India, significantly contributing to the country's shift from coal to renewable energy sources. The irony is palpable as the Adani Group, traditionally known for its coal enterprises, leads one of the world's largest clean energy initiatives. This shift is part of India's broader strategy to meet its soaring energy demands while reducing emissions, with the government targeting a 50% renewable energy mix by 2030. Despite challenges, including recent accusations of fraud against the Adani Group, the project is a critical step towards achieving India's ambitious environmental goals and ensuring sustainable growth. Norway's $1.6 trillion sovereign wealth fund, the largest in the world, has been criticized for not fully supporting climate change initiatives, according to a report by the Norwegian non-governmental organization Framtidvara Hender, The Future in Our Hands. The fund, which invests Norway's oil and gas revenues globally, aims for its 9,000 invested companies to achieve net zero emissions by 2050, aligning with the Paris Agreement. Despite this, the report highlights a significant gap between the fund's climate goals and its actions, particularly in its voting behavior at annual general meetings of major oil companies like BP, Shell, and ExxonMobil. Last year, the fund only supported 7 out of 16 climate resolutions, voting against several others, including all climate resolutions at 4 major oil companies. This has raised concerns about the fund's commitment to its stated environmental objectives. Despite its strategy to engage with companies on climate issues and its ability to divest from companies not meeting expectations. In the United States, WEC Energy Group is set to acquire a 90% stake in a solar project near Dallas, Texas, for approximately $459 million. The project, named Delilah Uz, is a 300-megawatt solar initiative developed by Invenergy. It aims to provide renewable energy to a global automaker under a long-term agreement. This investment qualifies for production tax credits under the Inflation Reduction Act, championed by President Joe Biden, which encourages clean energy technologies. The Delilah I project is part of the larger Samson and Delilah solar portfolio, and WEC Energy already owns a majority in another phase, Samson 1. The commercial operations for Delilah 1 are expected to start by the end of June. WEC Energy's commitment to expanding its renewable energy portfolio is highlighted by its existing or planned investments in 11 solar and wind projects, totaling over 2 gigawatts of capacity. Gail Klappa, WEC's executive chairman, expressed enthusiasm about enhancing their infrastructure with clean, reliable, and affordable energy. Tesla CEO Elon Musk recently visited China, aligning his trip with the Beijing Auto Show, where Chinese carmakers unveiled their latest electric vehicles. During his visit, Musk met with Chinese Premier Li Qiang, who expressed hopes for enhanced U.S.-China cooperation, highlighting Tesla's successful operations in China as a prime example. This meeting comes amid tensions between U.S. officials and China, making Musk's visit particularly noteworthy. Tesla, which has a significant manufacturing base in Shanghai, recently reduced prices on some models, possibly in response to competitive pricing from Chinese electric vehicle makers. The visit also included discussions on further collaboration with the China Council for the Promotion of International Trade. Meanwhile, the European Union is investigating Chinese EV subsidies, which could impact Tesla and other electric cars made in China. Despite these challenges, electric vehicles continue to gain market share in China, signaling a shift towards greener energy in the automotive industry. Scotland's political scene is buzzing as Humza Yousaf, the First Minister, resigns amidst various challenges within the Scottish National Party. Yousaf's resignation was prompted by his inability to maintain a majority in the Scottish Parliament after his decision to remove the Green Party from the coalition due to disagreements over climate change goals. This decision left him vulnerable, especially with upcoming confidence votes he was likely to lose. His stepping down has initiated a search for a new leader who can unite the party and possibly prevent early elections in Scotland. Meanwhile, the broader political climate in the United Kingdom is also tense, with issues like immigration and healthcare stirring public concern. This shakeup comes at a critical time as local elections in England and Wales are approaching, which could influence the overall political landscape. Yousaf's departure marks a significant moment in Scottish politics, reflecting deep divisions and setting the stage for potential shifts in power. Energy ministers from the Group of Seven wealthy countries, including Italy, the United States, Britain, France, Germany, Canada, and Japan, are meeting in Italy to discuss setting a 2035 deadline to end coal-powered electricity. This initiative aligns with global efforts to reduce reliance on the most polluting fossil fuel, as emphasized at last year's United Nations Climate Summit in Dubai. The discussions are taking place in the historic Venaria Palace near Turin, with Italy holding the presidency of the G7 this year. Demonstrations occurred in Turin, with activists expressing their demands for more aggressive climate action. Additionally, the meeting's agenda includes enhancing battery storage and power grid investments to support increased renewable energy use. Italy is also advocating for the inclusion of nuclear energy and biofuels as alternatives to reduce fossil fuel use in the final agreement. These discussions are part of broader efforts to achieve Italy's 2050 target for net zero emissions. In the United States, scientists have made significant progress in nuclear fusion technology, overcoming two major challenges that could lead to the creation of nearly unlimited clean energy. These experts have successfully increased the density of plasma, which is a crucial component in nuclear fusion reactions, and have managed to contain this dense plasma effectively. This achievement helps the fusion process operate in an optimal condition known as the sweet spot, which is essential for efficient power production. The technology involves a tokamak reactor, a device used globally that features a donut-shaped chamber lined with magnets to facilitate energy production from fusion reactions. This breakthrough is a promising step forward in the quest for a sustainable and clean energy source, highlighting the potential for nuclear fusion to significantly impact our energy landscape. In the United Kingdom, the Labour Party has introduced an exciting local power plan, aiming to revolutionize clean energy production by 2030 with a £3.3 billion investment. This initiative focuses on empowering local communities to have more control over their energy sources, potentially through projects like installing solar panels on council buildings or constructing community wind farms. The plan was first announced by Ed Miliband in June 2023 and includes a proposal for a publicly owned energy company, GB Energy, to manage these local energy projects. Profits from these projects would help reduce council tax bills or support low-income families with their energy costs. This initiative not only aims to boost local energy production, but also to distribute the economic benefits within the community, thereby tackling local resistance and promoting sustainable development. Moreover, think tank Commonwealth suggests that adopting models from countries like Denmark and Germany, where citizens own significant shares of renewable resources, could be beneficial. This approach could lead to a more democratic energy sector that directly involves residents and local authorities, enhancing the visibility and impact of clean energy initiatives. In the United Kingdom, the prices of everyday items like bread, beer, and biscuits might increase due to the impact of exceptionally wet weather on crop yields. Research by the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit, using data from the Agriculture and Horticulture Development Board and the government, shows that wheat, barley, oats, and oilseed rape production could drop significantly. This decrease is due to poor autumn planting conditions and winter storms that have caused substantial losses for British farmers. Tom Lancaster from the ECIU highlighted the real risk of rising costs if the poor harvests push prices up. Additionally, the head of Associated British Foods warned that bread prices might rise if domestic grain costs aren't balanced by larger international harvests. The wet conditions also threaten the planting of spring crops, that potentially increasing brewing costs and the price of beer. Farmers like Colin Chappell express concerns over the viability of their fields, while the National Farmers Union emphasizes that extreme weather is a major threat to UK food security. The government's new sustainable farming incentive and other green farming schemes are seen as essential for helping farmers adapt to these challenges and secure the nation's food supply. In the United Kingdom, the Royal Horticultural Society is championing innovative gardening trends like rain gardens and the reuse of bathwater to combat water shortages due to climate change. At the Chelsea Flower Show, features like the WaterAid Gardens Rainwater Harvesting Pavilion and the National Autistic Society Gardens Waterfall Roof highlight these sustainable practices. These gardens not only conserve water by capturing rain runoff, but also support diverse plant life and wildlife, enhancing biodiversity. Rain gardens, which can absorb 30% more water than traditional lawns, are designed with water-resistant plants at the center and drought-tolerant species around the edges. Additionally, the RHS is researching the effective use of gray water from household sources for garden irrigation, which could significantly reduce the reliance on fresh tap water. Dr. Nicholas Cryer of the RHS emphasizes the importance of minimizing water use through smart planting and soil care, suggesting that every household's daily gray water output could be repurposed to sustain garden health. This approach supports a sustainable future where gardens thrive without excessive water use, even as summers grow hotter and drier. Massachusetts has launched a new $20 million program to assist low and moderate income homeowners with energy efficient upgrades. Governor Maura Healey highlighted the dual challenges of climate change and high housing costs that disproportionately affect these income groups. The initiative, managed by the state's Community Climate Bank, offers low interest loans up to $100,000 for various home improvements aimed at reducing energy usage by at least 20%. These upgrades include roof replacements, oil tank removal, and the installation of heat pumps and solar panels. This effort is part of a broader strategy to decarbonize residential buildings, which are significant contributors to the state's greenhouse gas emissions. The program also provides personalized support to help homeowners navigate the process of making their homes more energy efficient and accessing available financial incentives. With plans to expand, Massachusetts aims to provide 1,000 such loans over the next 2 years, making a significant impact on both the environment and the lives of its residents. At the New Hampshire Motor Speedway in Loudoun, a thrilling event featuring gas-free race cars is taking place, showcasing the future of the automobile industry with electric and hybrid vehicles. Mike Chapman, the director of the Formula Hybrid Plus Electric event organized by the Thayer School of Engineering at Dartmouth, highlighted that most teams are using high-performance electric vehicles. Over 500 students from across the United States and Canada have gathered to compete, bringing 28 electric and 4 hybrid vehicles they designed and built themselves. These vehicles will be judged on design, acceleration, handling, endurance, energy efficiency, and sustainability. The event offers fantastic networking opportunities, including a virtual career fair and receptions, and provides a platform for students to impress potential employers from car manufacturers and high-tech industries. The competition, which is free for spectators, promises excitement with its dynamic race events and educational tours for younger students. It's an inspiring display of innovation and teamwork by the student engineers.